Begin the current and final daf Masech the Shabbos daf Kuf Nun Zayin. Begin the Amud Alpha. Begin the Tosfos Deh Maaseh. It begins with the Gemara. In Mashkin Meshechet in Esam Barias. We don't give to drink. We don't slaughter those animals which go out into the desert. Tosfos comes to explain. You could actually reject this regarding halacha. Where the Gemara asked a question, a contradiction in Biyechna. He says halacha is like Reb Shimon by Mukta. On the other hand, he says halacha is like Stam Mishnah. We find the Stam Mishnah, which I tell you, the Masel is going on, that disagrees with Reb Shimon, because the Mishnah says, "Ein mashkin mishchechet nesamid." You don't go ahead and give the drink and slaughter the animals that go out into the desert. You can't slaughter them on Yom Tov, because since they don't come to a settled area, it's considered Mukta. That's like Reb Yehuda. So that says Taisis. Truth is, the Gemara could have said the honey kegurgis if it's a mukandam. These animals are considered like the dried figs and the raisins, which that Reb Shimon agrees to that category of muktzah gedam perakir, like we said previously, daf mem beis. And then it wouldn't have been a question, because you could just say that that's not just your general muktzah, that's a severe level of muktzah that Reb Shimon would agree to, and then it wouldn't have a Gemara's question. Ksenek says the Masechta begins words of Gemara Labarmi Muktzah Machmas Isser, except the category of Muktzah because of a prohibition related to it. Jason explained it's specifically something that you actively made it into Muktzah Machmas Isser. Because the Gemara was saying Halachas like Shimon and all the laws of Shabbos except for Muktzah Machmas Isser with Halachas like Yehuda. Jason explains that this was saying that did Halachas like Yehuda specifically Ukagoyin Isser Detchiyah Biyadai, something that's prohibited because you actively rejected it. Kagoyin Ner Shad Likabayz Shabbos. Like a candle that you lit that Shabbos, the fact that you lit it, you made it now into something that's forbidden because of the Isser related to it. Then you can't move it. Then it's going to be Muktzah. But in general, other Machmas Isser, like the halacha of our Mishnah of cutting up in the veil in front of the dogs, that says Taish halacha is still going to be like Reb Shimon. The Barashti and the Gersa is Perikira, but the Gersa is supposed to be Perik. It says Beverikam, but it's supposed to be Perikira B'Seifai, which is in Taishes on Daf Mem Vav at the end of Dibur Maskel Ein. Two next days, the Masechta begins with the Gemara of Hilchos Me'eis La'eis. Halacha is, that's for a period of 24 hours. So it's explained actually not to have this Gersa, because some have the Gersa of Hilchos Me'eis La'eis, which is like a piece of Yehuda and a Elizabeth of Shimon. Masechta says, Ligoris Me'peresh Rach, Rabbi Nachanan does not have this Gersa in his text, because the Nedarim Mashma, the last Hilchos Ahachi, in the Nedarim, it sounds like, or it's actually explicitly, that halacha is not like this peer. Because I'm comparing Nam Rosh, the Gemara says, Nedarim, that find Vav Me'eis. In the halacha, Chris says, look, the halacha is not like that peer, and therefore, how could you say, well, halacha is somebody's slaves? And therefore, actually, it seemed like not to have that girsa and say that halacha is for a period of 24 hours, that's maybe Rabbi. Tinnik says, the master begins with the Gemara, Hilkati Ketano. Tinnik explains, what is this Hilkati Ketano? Because the Gemara brought from Rajid Merav that regarding this story that we mentioned here in the Mishnah, it was a Hilkati Ketano that was between the two houses. So, in fact, according to Rashi explains, it's Shvil Katan. The Hilkati Ketano is a small path. Haisa Ben Shnei Batan was between the two houses. And regarding the rest of the story, Vahagigas Seduka Menachas Lagabon, there was a barrel that had a crack that was on top of this path that's between the two houses, Vames Mutal Behilkati, and the dead person was in this path, which is between the two houses, which was Tachas Agigas underneath the barrel, which was Negat Sedek, opposite the crack of the barrel. And that's what Vakasha Makita, that's why they tied on the reed onto that jug, lay them yesh besedik b'seich tefach, to see if there is in that crack an opening of a tefach, which then the tumah could go through there, and then it wouldn't be going in through on either directions on the side into either one of the homes on the side. It says Taisus, but l'hai perusha kosh l'ri. This interpretation of Rashi, the refine is difficult, because the fillet in besedik b'seich tefach, because even if the crack would not have an opening of a tefach, the way Rashi is interpreting. But since the dead person is opposite that crack, then it would not be considered like there's an oil over the dead person, and it wouldn't spread anyway. Why? Because that's not the normal way of having an oil, which then transports the tumah on either side. It's like it's obvious in the Gemara and Mishnah Olis in this 10th parak of Mishnah Beis, which a Maisel of the same parak of the Sukkah, the Gemara brings at the end of the first parak of Mishnah Sukkah, that we've chesam enough. It's talking about over there, a house that has a skylight in the roof. So the Mishnah says, if that skylight does not have an opening of a tefach, so it depends. So let's say that the dead person's in the house. So whatever's in the house opposite the skylight, that's going to be tar, because that's directly, it's not underneath the oil, it's underneath the skylight. But what's in the house will be tar. But let's say the dead person is opposite the skylight. So mashvabai is tar. What's in the house will be tar, even though, as we just explained, the case of the Mishnah they were always talking about, that the skylight is less than a tefach. So if so, says Taisus, says the Ri, the Kimicha Meshoy Negada Sedik, since Rashi explains the case that the dead person was opposite the crack, Mahoylem Likshramakita, why did it have to say, and we wanted to say all the different things they did, you see you could do that in Shabbos, that they could tie the reed to the jug to measure if there's a crack of a tefach. What do you mean? Even if there's no tefach, still it's not going to contaminate what's beneath the house because it's beneath the crack. And we said in that Mishnah in Olis, even though there's less than the tefach, it's still not going to be tamor whatever's underneath the house. Another difficulty, says Taisav Oid Pirish. Rashi also explains, he says, Shlefnei Maisanes, that before the person died, and they saw he's geising, he's about to die, and then it's going to spread to him all over, Pakwam Oid Tefiach. That's when they went and they attached they closed up the windows, they shuttered it with a jug to block, because the Kli Cheres from the outside is not Mekabal Tumah, so it's going to be Chetzes from the Tumah for coming into the houses. Now, says Taisa, well, Haven Rebbe LePerusha, my teacher does not understand Rashi's interpretation. Hala Oisa Meis LaHoye Mes Shalom, as Taisa is going to prove, he says, that dead person was obviously not in a whole dead person. It was not the dead person himself. Why? Because the way Rashi explains it, Shari LaYodu Im LaMalahim En Hoye Perseich Tefach, we said that we didn't know if in the jug on top, if the crack in that jug was the opening of a Tefach or not. Now, V'Hameis HaYu Kuli Tachas HaSedek, and the dead person was totally beneath the crack, because if part of the dead person would be underneath the roof, for sure would be metab oil, because whatever the part of the dead person is underneath the oil of the house, it would be metab. So since you tell me all of the dead person was underneath the crack, and you tell me that crack was so small that you're not sure if it has the opening of a hand breadth or not, so obviously you can't say a whole dead person. There's no one that's that small. So elavadi kazayim na mesaya. Obviously, it was only just if it's an olive-sized piece of the dead person that was there. And then you have to know, okay, was the crack a tefach or not? If that's the case, then according to Rashi's interpretation, it doesn't make sense the words that says before the person died. Rather, it should have said it before the outside piece of the dead person was brought over there, because the person didn't die over there. Now, on that second question, Tayyip says, however, you're talking to him, it is possible to say that's not difficult on Rashi. Right. The whole dead person was totally beneath that jug on the top, but not opposite, not right beneath the crack, which, as Mefarshim point out, that this answer does not really resolve Rashi, because Rashi later on writes that the dead person was beneath the crack. Rather, according to the approach of Rashi, it wouldn't be totally refuted, what he's saying over here, because you could say that the dead person was beneath the barrel, but not totally all of it beneath the crack. Because again, we're not sure the crack's even a tefach, but sure the whole person is not beneath the crack. Now, Gigas says Seduka, but the way you would interpret it, according to Rashi's version of our Gemara, before we give a new interpretation, Vahagigas says Seduka, so what's this understanding? What do you mean, if he's not totally underneath the crack, so he's going to spread it throughout? No, because like this. Vahagigas says Seduka be'emtza merish le'seifa. This crack in the barrel was a crack that was in the middle of the barrel, going along the entire length of that barrel, from the top to the bottom. Now, ve'ilu, and that's what we said they wanted to measure if it was a tefach or not, for this reason. That is because ve'ilu ha'yibo esesedek, apenei kule pesech tefach. If this crack in the barrel that went along the entire length of the barrel would be an opening of a tefach, la'hoise tomai veres, then the tum would not pass by from one house to another one through this barrel, which is connecting over the thin path, because we would not consider it all as one canopy, because there is a gap in the middle of a tefach along the entire length of that barrel. But if it did not have an opening of a tefach, kilo in kanzedik, then it would be like there's no crack here at all. Then we consider the whole alleyway with the two houses on either side as one oil, or maybe it's a tumah lebayis, and then we bring the tumah to the houses on the side. Okay, so that would resolve the second question. But the first question is still valid, and therefore that's a difficulty on Rashi's interpretation, that even if there's no opening of a tefach, but like the Mishnah says in Olis, still, if it's beneath it, it would not contaminate the rest of the house. So that ties with Nir Kapir Shrach. Therefore, the interpretation seems like the way the Rabbeinu Chananel explains. The Mefarish the Hilkati Hainu, he explains what this Hilkati is, not like Rashi that it's a term of a path. Rather, Hilkati is Tel HaMaslaket. It's a mound that gathers. That's what Hilkati is. It like gathers, which is like a mound of earth that becomes a mound. Any mountain generally gathers to a point. Va'isa hilkati, and this pile, ha'isa bein shnei batim, was between two houses, which they had a roof, just didn't have a wall between them. Va'meisai beva'is echad, and the dead person was in one of the two houses, and the mound didn't reach all the way up to the roof. Va'isa hagigas, and what was the purpose of this jug? Ha'isa lamala ben atel ad latikra, was on top of the mound, going up until the roof, meaning they put that jug to close off that little gap that there was between the mound and the roof to separate from one house and the other one, to separate from the tumma from one house into the other house. Now, that jug, it itself was not makabel tumma, because it was supposed to stay there and remain over there, so it's nullified over there, so it's not makabel tumma, and whatever's not makabel tumma, it's chaytzim from the tumma, it separates from the tumma. Ah, so that's what they were checking to see if it's a tefach enough. Because the imlo he says, look, if it does not have a crack, the other house would not become tummy. Ella, rather, hagigas haisis seduka mitzida. It's just that the store was talking about that it had a crack on the side of the bow. Now, if it were to have a crack, a tefach squared, then the tumma would pass by the crack from one house to the other. But they had to measure to see if it had a tefach or not. Says Taisis, now Bahashta Asishapir Diktani Stuka. Now based on the interpretation of Rabbi Nachmanel, we understand why it mentions the terminology when it talks about the crack, the term seduka. The fisha mitzida, that generally connotes a crack on the side. According to Rashi's interpretation, it doesn't really work out well, because the key in the pirsha that said the since he said the crack is on the top of the jug, not pesucha, but the gears is pechusa, but seduka. Because the terminology when it has a hole in the barrel itself, on the top, it usually uses the terminology shenifchasa and not shenistik. According to the interpretation of Mechanel, it works out well. Because the crack was on the side. And that's the question. Therefore, they tied the jug with the reed to go ahead and see if it fits through, if that's the hole of the handbreadth. Now, says Taisis, based on this interpretation, what we have to say is that hole that there was on the side of the jug, according to Mechanel, it was used for some utility that they would use to pass by objects from one house to the other one. Because the chur asla tashmish, when you have a crack that's made for utility, that's what you're pesach tefach. That's what the measurement is, an opening of a tefach. And then, therefore, the imhoi pesach tefach, if it has the opening of a tefach, habay sacha tamay, then the other house would be tamay. And vimlam, and if not, bitar. Because, as Mashar explains, if it wouldn't be used for some type of a utility, then the measurement actually would not be an opening of a tefach. Because everything has a different shear, as the Mishnah explains, and says all this. In contrast, by Rashi, it makes sense. You don't have to give this, because the crack was on top, that for sure was used for some utility, and you wouldn't have to go ahead and say like places that they used it specifically for some type of passageway between one house and the other one. But Rami, however, but one thing that the Ri has difficult with the Rabbeinu Chananel is to have the Meimer al Gabon. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, should not say on them, El al Gabon, rather on it, Mipi Rabbi, which, as Marshall explains, according to Rashi, that the jug was on top of the houses. It makes sense al gabon because on two houses, according to Ben Chananel, it's really on one. It was just on that one pile. She al gabon on the singular, not al gabon. So Rashi had explained that Hilkat Diketana was a small path, and the story was that the path was between the houses, which the dead person was being in the path, and the jug was cracked, which was on top of the houses. The roofs of the houses, and the dead person was there in the path underneath the jug, underneath the crack. And they were measuring the crack to see if it has only a tefach, to see if the tumah goes out over there. The Ri explained the Hilki Gitana was a small mound of earth. And the story was that that mound was separating between the two houses, and you had a jug on top of that, separating the mess which was in one house from the other house. And if it had a crack, then it wouldn't be chaitzitz from the other side, never had to measure if it was pesach tefach or not.